Hello everybody. This is the translation of Lucy Bardiaux's message for Sunday, the 21st of May. Four disciples, four questions. Today, between the Ascension and Pentecost, in a way, the disciples of Jesus are alone. Jesus went up to his Father, saying to them just before, "In a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." But the Holy Spirit has not yet descended. One may wonder in what state of mind the disciples are. Impatient, enthusiastic, troubled, as in a situation never experienced before. Waiting is not always comfortable. I even think the disciples felt a bit like a few days before Easter, with questions in my head. Let me rewind a bit to the week before Easter. John tells us that there was, during the last meal together, a last speech, and Jesus said at one point, in John chapter 13, verses 33 to 35, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." What the disciples remember is not so much the commandment, love one another. Rather, it is the fact that Jesus will no longer be with them, and that raises questions. At the end of chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, in the course of chapter 14, we have a final period of questions and answers. Four disciples, four questions. First Peter, then Thomas, then Philip, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. There was this Easter meal with the washing of feet. And then Jesus announces to them, "I am with you only for a short time." If you had been there, what would you have said? Maybe like Simon Peter. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" A logical question. Jesus said he was leaving, that they couldn't go where he was going, so yes, it makes sense to ask. But where are you going? And then also, and why can't we follow you? Yet this is what you asked us to do for 3 years. Let's read together. John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Peter was probably thinking of practical difficulties. "Why can't I follow you? I'm ready to go. I'm with you. Wait a minute, I will get my jacket and my backpack." This Peter, once again, like Lucky Luke, he shoots, he speaks faster than his shadow. We know him so well. He's already planning a long and perilous journey. But as Jesus points out, poor Peter does not even know what he will do until the next day breaks. He wants to go anywhere with his master, for his master, but he does not know that before daybreak he will be very sad to have denied knowing his master. Sometimes it must be remembered we are a bit like Peter, ready to launch ourselves into big spiritual challenges, but without realizing our vulnerability. We are only human. We want to do great things. We can see it already, but unfortunately, we are human, therefore weak. The disciples then were a little confused, worried. It seems normal. Yet Jesus will tell them, in John chapter 14, verse 1. "Don't be so worried," Jesus told them. "Trust in God and trust also in me." Don't be so worried, because worried they all are. The Master is leaving, no one knows where, and they are going to be left alone. We followed him for 3 years and now he is leaving us, and what will become of us? The unknown, as between Ascension and Pentecost. Jesus continues to speak to them, saying, in John chapter 14, verses 2 to 4, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So here we are. Another disciple is perplexed, Thomas. Jesus just said they can't go where he's going. The Lord did not answer Peter's question, "Where are you going?" But he said, "You know the way that leads where I am going." This does not reassure anyone. If you don't know the destination, how do you know the way to get there? As if we don't have an address to put in the GPS. And the following question comes logically from the mouth of Thomas. John chapter 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Is this a logical question? Yes and no. Jesus has just spoken to them of his Father, of the Father's house, that this is their destination. But where is the house of the Father and how can we get there? They seem not to have heard that Jesus would return to bring them there. No, they are forced to find the way themselves. Jesus here is not saying, "You must set out to join me." No, he says, "I will come back for you." To Thomas's question, Jesus answered in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." I am the way. To go where? Where Jesus is going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. In fact, in this last speech, it is a question of two movements of Jesus. First, he tells Peter that the disciples cannot go where he is going. He adds, "You can't follow me now, but you will follow me later." Jesus alludes to his death. It is through his death that he will open for us the way to the house of the Father, eternal life. In this sense, Jesus is literally the way. His death is essential to us. I am the way. I am the truth. Truth is a recurring theme in the Gospel of John. 1:17, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. 8:31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And to those who refused to believe in him, he said, 8, verse 44, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." It is commonly said, to each his own truth, relativism. There is, however, a truth. It's Jesus. But how many of our contemporaries say that Jesus never existed, that he was an impostor, that his death or his resurrection are realities? To each his religion, his beliefs. Okay, but there are some that lead to death. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." What is life? the encounter between an egg and a gamete, 9 months of waiting, a more or less happy childhood, then working until the age of 64, and dying on average at the age of 80. That's life. Jesus speaks of another life, of a life after death, of an eternal life, of a life with him in his Father's house. I will come back to take you, so that you too are where I am. Eternal life, do you know its definition? John chapter 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But back to our main text, John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and have seen him. So there, it is not clearer for the disciples. If you know me, you will also know my Father. You saw him already. Really? Oh no, for Philip it is not so obvious. The third disciple. Third question. John chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. What is happening in these chapters, in this talk? Is Jesus removing the veil, everything that prevents the disciples from seeing who Jesus really is? They already know. Peter said it in the Gospel of Matthew. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Son. Okay. But Philip says again, show us the Father. First of all, let's get to know this Philip better. Because all the disciples are very different characters. Our dear Philip is a guy who likes numbers and mathematics. He was there when it was necessary to feed the crowd, gathered to listen to Jesus. John chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Philip, the realist, the one who sees things logically. Philip, he wants to see to believe. That's what we always say about Thomas. But Philip was the same kind. He wanted to see the Father. Last meal, last speech, last question and answer session. A self-contained revelation. And here it is that through these questions and answers, Jesus speaks to us about this mystery, which is for us the Trinity. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus makes it clear that he is God, not just the Son of God. It is for having said this that he will be crucified. He says, I live in the Father and the Father lives in me. A unity between the Father and the Son. Nowadays, having knowledge of DNA, we can understand at least a little. We share the same DNA with our Father. So my Father lives in me, even though he has been gone for almost 40 years. My Father lives in me, says Jesus, but it is another dimension than biological or genetic. The Father and Jesus are one. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus here claims to be God, not God the Father, but God just the same, God the Son. The disciples are puzzled, they are perplexed. How to understand this mystery? But wait, this is what Jesus adds. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The disciples are at this last meal with Jesus. They know him, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus is talking about his Father. Philip is struggling. He would like to see the Father. And now Jesus adds that the Father will give the disciples the Spirit of truth, when Jesus just said he is the truth. So the Father of Jesus will give his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to the disciples. Oh dear, what a heavy course in systematic theology for such a busy evening and such a busy week for these poor disciples. Imagine being in their place. God, the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit. God comes into the world in the person of Jesus, and Jesus will leave this world, but not without leaving a trace. Jesus said, after the resurrection, I am with you every day until the end of the world. He also says at the ascension, you will receive power. Nothing is over. Everything is just beginning. Whereas for the disciples, it is the end that Jesus announces. I will not be with you very long. I understand that they asked questions, Peter, Thomas, Philip, and then Judas too, not Judas Iscariot, who had already left to do his dirty work, the other Judas. He also has a question, but Jesus continues his discourse by saying, in John chapter 14, verses 19 to 22, before long, the world will not see me any more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? There is a distinction between the followers of Jesus and the world. What explains it? John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Once again, the answer does not seem to correspond to the question, this fourth question of the disciples, the question of Judas. Why to us and not to the others? However, there we are at the heart of the gospel, of the good news. I paraphrase. If you keep my commandments, if you obey them, you are one of those who love me. I too love you. My Father loves you. We will live together, not only up there eternally, but already here and now on this earth. We can live in communion with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And later, after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, Paul will write in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, our communion with the Holy Spirit. Most people say, if I could experience God, if I could see him, if I experienced a miracle, I would certainly believe in him. Humans set their conditions. God also laid down his own. If you believe, you will keep my commandments, and I will come to you, and we will live in communion. Who has the right to set conditions? We humans to our Creator? Prove that you exist, and then we will believe. Or God who says, Believe in me, believe in my Son, and I will come to dwell with you. I want to see to believe is to take things upside down. Only when you believe can you see, as Joel also said a few weeks ago about Thomas. Here I presented to you four questions from four disciples. And you? Where are you with each of these four questions? First question, Peter asks, where are you going? Do you know where Jesus went? Do you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe in the reality of heaven, of eternal life, of the possibility of already living here below in communion with God? Second question, that of Thomas. How could we know the way to go where you go? Jesus announces that he is preparing a place for us. Then he will come to get us so that we too can be where he is. Do you think you are one of those people for whom Jesus is preparing a place and who he will come to seek? Third question, that of Philip. Show us the Father. Is this also your question? Do you need someone to show him to you? Where have you met him before? Have you spoken to him? Do you know him? Have you understood the difference between Jesus and his Father, or the unity between Jesus and his Father? Who is Jesus for you? Who do you say I am? The Son of God? God himself? A messenger from God? What does the Trinity mean to you? This question is all the more relevant at this time of year. At Easter, we spoke only of Jesus, the Son of God. At the Ascension, we speak of the Son of God who ascends to heaven towards his Father. And at Pentecost, in a week, we are going to talk about the Spirit of God, this third person of the Trinity, of whom Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Communion with the Holy Spirit is essential. Who is Jesus? Who is God? Who is the Holy Spirit? If you don't have the answers, if you have questions, doubts, uncertainties, now is the time to talk about it with the pastoral team, with Guy or John or myself. Because there is still the fourth question, that of Judas. Lord, how come you have to show yourself to us and not to the world? John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Whoever loves me will obey what I say." Notice what Jesus asks is to love him, and obedience will follow. But trying to obey him without loving him is impossible. Where are you in your approach to the Son of God? Do you love him? Is your heart burning? Where are you in your walk with him? In your walk in communion with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm the one who asked you a bunch of questions. Take the time to think about it for a few moments. It's up to you to answer these questions. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I propose that we sing together, "We Are a House." Jesus is preparing a house for us up there. But in the meantime, we are down here, each one, a house for the Lord, a place where he comes to live, where he likes to stay.